All right, Romans 3, huh? We're going to turn, if you would, in the Bible to Romans chapter 3. We're going to finish chapter 3 tonight, Lord willing. How about that? We'll do that for a few months. So you might say, kind of unusual, you see my T-shirt there? And it says, yeah, I'm proud a pop now, five different times. My grandchildren call me Pop. And it does fit in tonight into the word from in Romans chapter 3, verses 27 to 31. The word pop is a good word, right? And I like when it's combined with like popcorn or Pop-Tart, although I haven't had one of those recently, I got to admit, but I do like them. But the one thing I don't like the term is when it's combined with the word pop quiz. And I say that, now it's been a long time, as you can tell, because Nora, I have your hair color and then some, but back in seminary days, when the professor came in and said, take out a sheet of paper and number from 1 to 10, you went, oh man, it's a pop quiz, right? So that was not a good thing. Now, if the teacher said, hey, it's an open book, that's a little better, right? Open book tests were better than closed book tests. But then when the professor would give you the question and then share the answer with you, that was the best kind of pop quiz, right? And that's what the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Spirit, is doing with us tonight in these five verses at the end of chapter 3. He's asking some questions and giving us the answer. So let's look, if you would, in turning your Bibles to chapter 3, verse 27. And they'll put it up on the screen as well. I've just used the New American Standard Bible for a long, long time. It's very close to the ESV, but you can see as well. Okay, so the first question is, where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since indeed God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith is one. Do we then nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. So now he's given a little quiz. This is not a midterm or a final exam, because we got a long way to go in 16 chapters, right, Pastor Edgar? And so but I believe that under the inspiration of the Spirit, Paul feels led to say, hey, here's where we are right now. Here's the first three chapters is what I've tried to explain to you. Do you get it? Are we ready to move on to chapter 4? Well, I'll add in Abraham and keep going here and get a little deeper. So you can see, if it outline the fine verses like this. I think we'll put this up on the screen. Verses 27 and 28, you have three questions and answers. Got that? Yes? No? Maybe? I don't see it yet. Do you? No? I don't. Okay. All right. And then verses 29, that is probably not where we're at. Okay. We're at verses 27 and 28, you have three questions and answers. And then verses 29 and 30, you have two questions and answers. And verse 31, you have one question and answer. So let's look at number one here. Let's move on to number one. That's, I would say, verses 27 and 28 is the works and faith, okay? Look again at those two verses. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. So first of all, you see boasting is eliminated by faith, right? Boasting is eliminated by faith. The word excluded there is like the door has been shut on boasting, okay? It is slammed shut once and for all. Boasting is banned, is tossed out. You know, we can't, you know, again, I think I'll give you some scriptures here. The most compelling example of this point is given by the Apostle Paul in the letter to Philippians. So look at chapter 3 of Philippians. Chapter 3 said, if anyone has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. So I was circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. That's a good tribe, you know. And a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever whatever was gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I found all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but that which is through faith derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. So you see that Paul said, I had all this going for me. I mean, he was a teacher of the law, and he knew the law backwards and forwards, but he said all that was but rubbish. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 to 31, consider your calling, brethren. Again, the Apostle Paul writes, there are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world to despise that God has chosen, that things that are not, that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you're in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So it's written, let him who boasts, boasts in the Lord, right? So we can only boast in one thing, because by faith we've been saved. And we only boast in one thing, that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in our works. Paul summarized it in Galatians chapter 6, 14 to 16. May it never be that I should boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Amen. And all those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, upon the Israel of God. Jeremiah said in the Old Testament, he said, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast of his might, but not the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts, boast of this. Sounds like a New Testament verse, doesn't it? That he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. And of course, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, you know these by heart. For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not a result of works, lest any man should boast. So folks, if salvation is by works, we'll all be trying to convince one another and God that we're good enough, right? I mean, that's just the way we're wired. And we're congratulating ourselves, bragging about how wonderful we are. It's kind of interesting, Pastor Eric, I'll kind of pull one of yours here. Growing up, you know what a goat is, right? And so I think we have a picture of a goat. These are my sister's pets. She lives in Georgia, saw these goats, they're her pet goats. That was what a goat was. In fact, I think they have another picture of what a goat is in my days, and that's a picture of, if you're a Boston Red Sox fan, Bill Buckner letting the ball go between his legs and losing the World Series for the Boston Red Sox. He was a goat. But now we have something else, and that's capital G, capital O, capital A, capital T. What's that stand for? Greatest of all time, right? See how we take things and faith alone shuts down any possibility of self-help, self-improvement, or self-salvation. Completely. It completely wipes it out. As someone well said, and I think we have this up on the screen, I did all the sinning and Jesus did all the saving. Amen? I did all the sinning and Jesus did all the saving. So faith is self-renouncing. Works is self-congratulatory. You know, faith looks to what God did and what God does, and works have respect to what we are. So boasting is eliminated. The second thing we see in these verses, the basis of justification is by faith. So you have in these verses 27 and 28, you have the word law used several times. Sometimes with the little L-A-W, right? And then sometimes with a capital, the law, the capital L-A-W. So the capital L-A-W is the Mosaic Law, the Old Testament, right? 613 laws, I believe. They say 365 negative laws, one for every day of the year, and 248 positive laws, one for every bone and major organ in your body. I don't know if that's exactly correct, but that's about it. You couldn't keep all the law. The little law, L, in verse 27, where then is boasting, by what kind of law? That's the principle or rule that in other words, it's a formula which serves to regulate the relationship between God and man. So you have the law, little L, of sin. You have the law of the Spirit. Yeah, and but then you have the law, which is the Mosaic law. Okay, does that make sense? So the quote I found here, God has not put the human race on a merit system based on keeping or not keeping the law, but on a faith system so that the basis of justification is simply believing what he has done for undeserving sinners like me and you. This mercy-filled, grace-laden truth completely shuts the door, like we said, nullifies, shuts the door on human boasting in regard to our humanity, our goodness, or our ability to love God. She says, we're completely justified by faith. And so justification, as Pastor Edgar shared with us in chapter 3, we've developed it, is that biblical term that says we've been made right with God. And it's a legal term. That's why the word law is used here, because it's a legal term. And this is our positional righteousness. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by faith, positionally righteous. But the law of faith not only secures our justification, it really applies to all of our lives as Christians. That's a verse that I think you're very familiar with, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So see, really, faith is not only saves us, right? We have saving faith, but we live by faith every day, don't we? We walk by faith. Our whole life is based on this justification by faith alone. Not just when we're saved, but every day until God calls us on into heaven, right? And so that's why it's so important to see, and why Paul's emphasizing it here at the end of chapter 3, how important it is to say that is the basis, that the stamp of God on our lives is by faith alone. So point number two, we have not only works and faith, but we have Jews and Gentiles in verses 29 and 30. Look at those verses again. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. It says, indeed, God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith is one. So you have the idea of Jews and Gentiles. Faith unites Jew and Gentile unto one God. Amen. One God who's over Jew and Gentiles. At this point, he's been building a case to the first three chapters to the Jews for the most part, but it's also application to us as Gentiles. But see, the law, capital L-A-W, was given to the Jews only, right? To sons of Abraham. But faith was given to all. Amen. To all of us. I'm so grateful for that. And Galatians chapter 3 is a great chapter to illustrate this. They'll put this up here. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, capital L, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham, which came to the Jews, might come to the Gentiles, so that we receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And again, in verses 26 to 29, I think we have that as well in the same chapter of Galatians, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free man. There's neither male or female, for you all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. So again, we've been grafted in. We've been to the vine, which was Israel. And so faith unites Jew and Gentile into one God. Quote here by W.E. Vine, faith is not a national quality, so neither is God merely a national God. Justification is not granted on a condition which only those under the law can fulfill. God's a God of all, isn't he? He's not a national God. He's a God for all of us. And then J. Vernon McGee, the old boy, says this, Paul says, if justification is by the law, then God does belong to the Jews. But if justification is by faith, then he is the God of both Jews and Gentiles. Now notice the logic of this. If the Jew persisted in this position, then there must be two gods, one for the Jews and one for the Gentiles. But the Jew would never allow this. He was a monotheist, that is, he believed in one God. And that's what the Deuteronomy 6:4, you'll see on the screen, which says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one," right? And that, so again, the kind of the logic breaks down there that faith unites Jew and Gentile into one God. But secondly, the focus then of faith is the heart, not the flesh. Look back at verse 30 again, okay, as we walk through almost there. "Since indeed God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, is one. Okay, so the focus is the heart. The focus of faith is the heart, not the flesh. The circumcised, of course, were the Jews. The uncircumcised were the Gentiles. The Hebrew people came to take great pride in circumcision. And in fact, that became their badge almost of their spiritual national superiority. But we know that that's not the way it is. So look at Jeremiah 4:4. Back in the Old Testament now, already Jeremiah, who's kind of that prophet that's looking forward to the new covenant and prophesying that, says, "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, remove the foreskins of your heart, men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, or else my wrath will go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it because of the evil of your deeds." Circumcise your hearts. That's what God wants our hearts, right? That's what it's all about. Faith deals with the heart, not with the outward appearance. It deals with the heart. And again, a verse that Pastor Edgar used a few weeks ago in Romans 2:28-29. "He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but nor circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God." So again, the whole redefinition of Jew and Gentile, right? By faith, not by works, but by faith. And faith puts Jew and Gentile together into one. And one of my favorites, right before the Philippians 3 you saw earlier, Paul says this, "For we are the true circumcision." This was all, who, 3 points, right? "Who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." And that, I mean, that's what a great, I mean, just think, that's what I want for my life. I know we worship in the Spirit of God, we glory in Christ, we boast, we glory in Christ Jesus, and we put no confidence in the flesh. And that's really what God's looking for, our heart. This quote says this, "All men have been reduced to the same common level of need by sin." Amen. We all are needy, aren't we? We all need salvation. We all need forgiveness. Every one of us. There's no one that can say we don't need that. We've all been reduced to the same common level of need by sin. But look finally at the last verse, verse 31. And it says, "Faith fulfills the law." He asked the last question, "Do we then nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law." Nullify means to reduce to inactivity, make useless. Literally, the word means not to work, right? The law doesn't work. And so it's kind of like your car if it doesn't have an engine. It's not going anywhere, right? You know, it may look like a car on the outside, but it's not going anywhere. And the law was going nowhere. We don't nullify the law through faith. We actually, he says, meganoito, may it never be. God forbid, some say, no way, or 1,000 times, no. Faith does not nullify the law. Faith actually says it establishes the law. It's almost like it takes it and props it up and stands it up and said, here is what the law is all about. We didn't nullify it. We made it what it was meant to do in the first place. We propped it up and put it in its proper place. And so he said, and how has that happened? Well, there's 3 ways in closing that faith established the law. First of all, faith provided that payment for the penalty of death for all who broke the law. And that's all of us, right? That was the penalty, and faith provided that payment. How did they do that? Well, we know it's through Jesus Christ's death on the cross. Matthew 5:17, back on the Sermon on the Mount, do not think I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. He said, in the King James, every jot and tittle in the law, every dash and every letter of the law, Jesus fulfilled. And it was really not only his sinless earthly life where he fulfilled, but his obviously sin-bearing death that paid the penalty for all of us who are lawbreakers. So faith basically provided that payment for the penalty of death for those who broke the law. And secondly, faith fulfilled the law's original purpose, which was to show mankind their utter inability to keep the law. Can't do it. 613 laws, can't do it. And then drive people to Christ. Drive people to Christ. Romans 3:20 says this. It says, because by works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. James 2:10 says, whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles in one point, he's guilty of all. And then Galatians 3:24, love this verse. Therefore, the law, capital L, has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. Don't you love that verse? The tutor was that pedagogue, so it would take a child and guide them and bring them along. And so the law was our tutor that brought us along to realize we can't do it. We're helpless. We can't save ourselves. We can't do it. No matter how good we are, we can't be do. And so we need Jesus Christ. And that's what the law drove us to realize, it's by faith alone. And finally, number three, the law established the potential to obey or keep. Faith established the potential to obey or keep the law. Isn't that cool? Look at the verse here, Romans 8, verses 3 and 4. And you're going to get this sometime in the future, I think, Pastor Edgar. Love Romans 8. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Wow, there's a lot going on there, right? The potential is there. How? That very last word of verse 4, the Spirit. Jesus, I'm going, but I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth, to convict you of sin, to bring you along. And so through the Spirit of God, we have the potential to obey and to keep the law. Are we going to do it perfectly? No, of course not. But that's we have that potential in our lives because but the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ has given that potential. So before we sing again, Matt and folks lead us in, how'd you do on the quiz? How'd you do on the quiz? Okay, no boasting except in Jesus, right? We can boast in Jesus all day long. So boast in the Lord, that's it. You and I are justified by faith alone. Got it? We're justified by faith alone. There is one God and one Savior of all mankind. And you know what? The Lord Jesus paid it all. Amen? Okay, you ready to move on to chapter 4? Well, let's pray real quickly, okay? Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless your name. God, that you have, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price for my sins and all of our sins. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Above all things, Lord, may we never boast in anything but you, Lord Jesus. And God, as we continue through Romans, God, I pray we continue to get deep down in our heart, God, this the law of the Spirit that we can live by faith, all the way from time of our salvation to the time we step over to be with you, Lord. Bless now as we, again, worship you and pray together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.